Now, Chew on This, your health and wellness headlines and media propaganda report with Dr. David Friedman and the poster child of sassiness, the author of the Skinny Bitch book series, Kim Barnuin.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. Our first headline comes from the LA Times. New research shows that napping helps infants form memories by capturing and storing learning experiences. For adults, too, sleep appears to play a crucial role in memory consolidation. Neuroscientists have known for decades that a lack of sleep causes memory impairment, but research now shows students that take a nap immediately after studying show better scores on tests, and I can actually vouch for that. In college, I took naps after studying. I'd make A's. When I studied and did not nap, I would make B's or C's or something to it. Kim, what's your take on cat napping for memory?
Oh, this is such a great study, and it's so important. You know, and when I was looking into it, they say just even a short nap of 20 to 30 minutes can really help improve your mood, alertness, and performance. And literally, that's taking a cat nap, because if you end up going too long, then you wake up groggy, you don't feel well. But this 20 to 30 minute period is a really good amount of time to get a good nap. And what you said about college was spot on,
because people were saying that after
these law school students were doing this study about how they would take naps after they were studying before tests, and they did so much better. So this is a great study.
It's great. You know, it's not just memory that improves with napping. If you're dealing with indecisiveness, taking a nap allows your brain to help sort out the best option to take as well. And that's where that popular statement, "let me sleep on it," comes from. So, you know, sleeping really is your brain's ability just to shut down and recoup. An interesting fact I'll share, humans are among the only species, Kim, that sleep in one shot. I always found this interesting. The rest of the animal kingdom consists of nappers that alternate sleep and wake cycles throughout the 24-hour period. We're the only ones that sleep at night for that full 6-8 hours.
Yeah, and you know what? And it can also prevent burnout, and it improves health. So not only is it good for our brains, but it's such a nice thing to be able to say, I'm not being lazy, I'm taking care of my health.
Exactly. And, you know, I don't know if you ever have time to take a nap. I know I don't, but boy, when I do, you just wake up refreshed. That afternoon is such a difference. I did read that Thomas Edison didn't sleep at night. He actually used to take little cat naps, and that was his theory, you know, not to sleep through the night, just little cat naps. And we don't advocate not sleeping at night, but a power nap has profound effects on your mood and memory as well. So that's great. Do you get to take any naps, Kim? Did we just wake you up before the show?
You know what? I've been having this awful flu that's been going around, and so I've been napping, and it's been very nice. I'm allowed to since I've been sick.
Makes a big difference, and that's when your body heals. Growth hormone produces when you sleep, so that's when your body grows and heals as well. All right, we go from benefits of napping to the dangers of aspirin. A new study featured this week on Fox News shows healthy women regularly taking low doses of aspirin may cause more harm than good. Many people take a daily aspirin to prevent heart disease, but females under 65 years old, the risks outweigh the benefits. Side effects include ulcers, hearing loss, and hemorrhagic stroke. Kim, what's your opinion on healthy people relying on an aspirin per day like they do a vitamin supplement?
Yeah, you know, when I was reading this study, it was amazing that people, you know, healthy women under 65, there really isn't any benefit to it. And if you want a risk of bleeding in the stomach and other parts of your digestive tract, well, then go for it. But they say it's really only maybe something that could benefit women over 65, that the risks could outweigh the benefits. But I think, yeah, under 65, it's just kind of silly and pointless.
Yeah, and you know, let me reiterate, aspirin does have benefits for those with clogged arteries under 65 or heart disease. Yes, it can save your life, but, you know, people don't realize, Kim, aspirin's a blood thinner, and that's not always something everybody needs. We all don't want thinner blood. So only those that are diagnosed with high risk of heart disease should really take that aspirin per day. I see. Kim, I had an 18-year-old that's taking an aspirin a day because he heard it was good for him. Healthy.
Oh, just no, taking it, like, so it, like young.
It, He just heard that it's good. People don't realize aspirin's a drug. It has side effects. It kills people. I mean, Google this. This is not something that's a multivitamin. And that's what bothers me, is they have this relevance on it like it's some savior of them being healthy. And for those that want benefits of aspirin with the benefits, with less of the thinning blood properties, there's an herb called white willow that I recommend. It's available at most health food stores. Also, if you're concerned about blood clots, eat cherries. They have natural blood purifying properties, and they actually help the heart. So there's other things that these young folks can do without relying on that aspirin.
Right, right. And it's a matter, it goes back to the diet, too, that you can really focus on eating a heart-healthy diet, eating a lot of fruit and vegetables and whole grains, and focusing on that when you're younger. But an 18-year-old, it doesn't need to be taking an aspirin. I mean, you think about what it does to your body over time every single day. That's a lot. So, when you're younger than 65, focus on diet. That's the best preventative. Like you were saying, the cherries are great.
Makes a lot of sense. We might have time for an email. We've got one from Amy Lewis from Newport Richey, Florida. She writes, "Dear Dr. Friedman and Kim, you always offer such great advice. The problem is I don't remember any of it the next day. Is there anything you can recommend that will help improve my memory?" Amy, this is the third time we've answered that question for you. Just kidding.
That's funny.
Actually,
like,
one of my favorite. Kim, I've been. I always say I have a photographic memory, but as I'm getting older, I'm just running out of film.
That's great.
Actually, one of my favorite memory enhancers, which helped me in college, is an amino acid called acetyl L-carnitine, and it's actually been shown, Kim, to help Alzheimer's patients with memory problems, and it does offer some pre-onset prevention, so that's one that I recommend. Anything that you can recommend for memory, or did you used to know it and can't remember?
Yeah. Well, I think that can also lead into the napping, too, because they say it can improve your memory. So maybe she needs to take a little nap, and then when she wakes up, maybe have some berries with some sunflower seeds and some peanut butter, and don't forget your red wine. That's been known to help with memory, too.
Exactly. And, blueberries, of all the berries, are number one. There's been so many good clinical studies that show it helps memory in people, and they've actually given this to mice, and they remember their ways through mazes because of blueberries, and the ones that didn't take blueberries couldn't find their way, even though they've been there once or twice. So really interesting about some of this memory-enhancing stuff. And as you mentioned, seeds are really good. Walnuts are great. Did you know a walnut, Kim, looks so much like the human brain that when I taught neurology, I actually had a picture of a walnut on the screen, and I went up and pointed the different lobes, and the students thought I was showing the brain. It looks so much like it, and it's the best thing to take for memory and for brain function. So it's kind of neat how God created this food that looks like a brain, and it's good for our brain.
Okay, then there you go. That makes sense. They say that about the avocado with women, too, so there's a correlation here between the human body and food, and it shows how important your diet is.
Exactly. The avocado looks like the uterus, and so
it's
and it's actually good for that as well. So it's kind of neat how you just, like you mentioned that the last segment, if you look to food and nature, you don't have to rely on these drugs and stuff. And getting food now means you're not prone to needing these medications down the road. So it's all about prevention and health, and that's great. So I hope that answers your question there, Amy. And now you can get some blueberries and get some acetyl L-carnitine if you want to take a supplement. That's really good for students out there as well. Anyway, that's great. A great show. That concludes another Chew on This. And, of course, we are your dynamic duo of due diligence. We're always here to help you digest the latest health news. And if you heard something that you want to share with others on the show, podcasts are available at toyourgoodhealthradio.com. And, play them to go. Put them in your ear. You got your little smartphones, and jog with them, run with them. Get this information out there. You can follow Kim on Twitter at SkinnyBitch and me at Dr. David Friedman. More to come right here after this short commercial break. Don't go away. Stay well. Stay tuned.